have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of John. I would like to read from John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I would like to begin with the first verse, read the first five verses, and then begin with verse 14, 15, and 16. John chapter 3. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's Word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke this world into existence, and the one who shall bring it to a close. Lord, we're thankful that thou hast declared the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand." We're thankful for your great power, thankful for your sovereignty. We thank thee, Lord, for the peace that we have in knowing that we're in your hands. We pray that you would bless all those that are sick and afflicted, that you'd be with them and touch their bodies. We know that you're the great physician, that you have the power to lift up and heal and restore to health. And we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to bless each of those that are on our hearts and minds this day, that you would touch their bodies, bless the doctors and nurses with wisdom that they need, but above all, we pray that you would touch them and lift them up and restore them to their health. We thank you that many that have been sick are doing better. Continue to bless them. We also ask thy blessings upon the families of those that are sick, that you would give them the strength and grace as they wait upon their loved ones. We pray now that you would help us in this hour, that we would hear the Word of God, that we would understand it, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we ask you this day to fill us all with the Spirit of God, that we might be able to understand thy Holy Word. Teach us and instruct us and bless us, that we would be doers of thy Word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, beginning by reading the first five verses. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I would remind you that the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, is different than the eternal heaven. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God are great blessings that God has for His obedient children while they live here in this world. And in this verse, Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again was a new concept that Nicodemus did not understand. And so Nicodemus responds in verse 4 by saying, "Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And verse 3, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Come down now to verse 14. Not going to go into all the scriptures that he talks about the new birth that are necessary in order to enter the kingdom of God, but I do want to come down to verses 14, 15, and 16. The Word of God in verse 14 says, let me ask you this, what's the most well-known verse of scripture probably in all the Bible? What do you think is the number one scripture known by Christians today? What would you say it is? I think that probably most anybody who has gone to church very long knows John 3:16. And we're going to be looking at John 3:14, 15, and 16. And I pray that God will help us to understand what John 3:16 is all about. You cannot understand John 3:16 without understanding John 3:14 and 15. I beg all of you to pay very careful attention and pray for God to help us as we study His holy word. Reading now from John chapter 3, verse 14, the word of God says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He used the word, the King James Bible in verse 15 says eternal life. The 16th verse says everlasting life. They both come from the exact same Greek word. They both are talking about the same thing. Three things that I want to mention. First of all, he's talking about whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ. Believing in Christ is extremely important. Believing in Christ, he says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not what? Shall not perish. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have what? Everlasting life or eternal life. So we need to understand several things. Number one, we need to understand what it means to believe in Christ. Number two, we need to understand what it means to perish. And number three, we need to understand what it means to have everlasting life. I want us to go back now to look at verse 14. Because he gives an analogy, Jesus gives an analogy here. In verse 14, he says, "And as Moses," listen carefully, he's saying now, there are two pictures that are identical here, "as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I want us to go back and think about, look at Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. It is in understanding what happened back there in the wilderness that we can understand, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 21 to read in its context what the Word of God tells us about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. Most all of you remember that God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And after God delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, He began to lead them through the wilderness. And while they were there in the wilderness, there were many things that they experienced. There were many difficulties that they faced. One of them was that the only food they had the entire time they were in the wilderness, except for one day, the only food that they had was what? Manna. Manna. And after a few days of eating the same food, what do some of you do? How many of you have ever complained about the same food over and over? Anybody here ever complained about that? All right. Sometimes our children complain. Sometimes we complain. We are murmurers and complainers, and the children of Israel got in a tremendous amount of trouble because they complained while they were in the wilderness. It's a very important lesson that all of us need to understand, is that we had better not complain. We better not be complaining. Murmuring and complaining caused a tremendous amount of trouble in the lives of the children of Israel. One of the things that happened, and we begin now with Numbers chapter 21. Look in your Bibles, please, at Numbers chapter 21. Please look beginning in verse 4. Numbers 21, beginning in verse 4. The Word of God says in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I want you to remember that expression, that the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, the children of Israel, they were traveling from Egypt to what? What were they trying to get to? They were trying to get to Canaan land. It was a land that God had promised them. Word of God says it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a place where God was going to pour out His blessings on the children of Israel. But before they went into Canaan land, after they were delivered out of Egypt, they had to go through the wilderness, and it was in that wilderness that they were much discouraged. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, brethren, that whole picture of Israel being delivered from Egyptian bondage and coming through the wilderness and entering Canaan land is a beautiful foreshadowing of everything we face in our lives as children of God. God has delivered us from Egyptian bondage. He has delivered us from the bondage of sin and death. And He has told us and promised us that He has the kingdom of heaven. God has established the kingdom of heaven for His obedient children while they live here in this world. And as we, and that kingdom of heaven is the same thing here as Canaan land. And as we try to enter and press, the Word of God says that the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. The only way the children of Israel could get from Egypt into the land of Canaan, what did they have to do? What did the children of Israel have to do to go from Egypt to the land of Canaan? Did they have a lot of work? Did they have a lot of difficulty? Did they have to press into the land of Canaan? Yes, they did. They had a lot to do. And we have a lot to do if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes the children of God, as we go through difficult times in this world, sometimes has your soul ever been discouraged because of the way? Have you ever not been in the kingdom of heaven? Have you ever been in the wilderness and you just wanted to give up? Have you ever wished you could just go back to the way things were before you were born of the Spirit of God? That's what the children of Israel wanted to do. They said, oh, that we could just go back to Egypt and enjoy the leeks and onions back there. They did not remember the taskmasters. They did not remember that they had been crying to God to deliver them. Listen, brethren, you and I as the people of God, we better realize that there are things much worse than the things that we face as we try to go forward in our service to God, entering the kingdom of heaven. It is difficult. It's a difficult task. It's a difficult road. But we need to understand there is a horrible hell. If we don't go forward and we don't press on, then there's a horrible hell that we as God's children can experience while we live here in this world. Verse 5, the soul of the people is much discouraged because of the way. Verse 5 says, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Have you ever gotten mad at God? Have you ever known anybody that got mad at God, spoke against God? Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't understand why God let this happen to me. I don't understand why God is allowing this to go on. I don't understand why God, and they began to speak against God. And the Word of God says here in verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They were sick of what? They were sick of the manna. Our soul loatheth. Now, brethren, sometimes God's people are so unthankful they don't appreciate what God is doing for them. And right here, the Word of God says, the people said, our soul loatheth this. We don't appreciate it. We don't like it. We're not happy. And we're angry at you, God, because of the plight we're experiencing in our lives. Verse 6 says, and the Lord sent... Listen, it's a serious thing to argue with God and speak against God. Verse 6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents. What are serpents? Snakes. Verse 6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Who sent those snakes? The devil or God? God sent the snakes. Why did God send the snakes? because the children of Israel were murmuring and complaining and speaking against God and speaking against Moses. Verse 7 says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. What did they realize? They realized that all these serpents that were biting them, they were sent by God because they had sinned and because they had spoken against God and against Moses. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. What would you have done right there? Now these are people that wanted to kill you, by the way, just before this. These are people that have already risen up against you as their leader and said they despised him and they wanted to kill Moses. And now, when God sends his judgments on the people, then they come to him and say, pray for us. Pray for us. And Moses, the scripture says in the end of verse 7, and Moses prayed for the people. Isn't that a marvelous blessing? Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Why are we reading this whole passage of Scripture? Well, it's because Jesus, way over there in John chapter 3, verse 14 said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Now verse 8 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone, listen carefully, everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Do you think that there were some people, even after that brazen serpent was lifted up, do you think there were some people that were bitten by snakes that did not look to that brazen serpent? Yes, there were. The only people that would look to that brazen serpent are those that did one thing. What do they have to do? Okay, they had to be obedient. What would cause them to be obedient? Believing. They had to believe. They had to believe what God said. God told them here, Moses, you lift up that fiery serpent, and then whenever they are bitten by those serpents, then they look on that serpent, they shall live. Verse 9 says, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived. Now we're talking here about the difference in, I said there were three things we need to remember. One is believing, right? Whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus over there in John 3, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And just as in this passage in Numbers 21, that there was a brazen serpent that was lifted up, and when the people were bitten by the snakes, if they looked on that brazen serpent, if they believed God and obeyed God and looked to that serpent, they lived in the same sense and in the same manner. You and I, as God's children, we're living in a low ground of sin and sorrow that's just like that wilderness back there in the Old Testament. And just as we're in our wilderness today, there are serpents. Who is the number one serpent? Who is the number one serpent? Satan is the number one serpent from the very, very beginning. Satan is described in the Word of God in Genesis all the way through the Bible and in the book of Revelation. The devil is called that old serpent, the devil. These serpents here in Numbers chapter 21, they represent the devil and the way devil strikes at you. The devil is after you. Peter knew that, didn't he? Did Peter know the devil was after him? Did Peter forget the devil could? Did he forget how powerful the devil is? You remember when Jesus told the apostles, he says, every one of you is going to deny me this night. Peter said, oh, they may all deny you, but I'll not deny you. And Jesus said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. Did Peter believe he would do such a thing as that? He didn't believe that. Did Peter think that he could stand up against the devil? He thought he could, but what did Peter do? He denied the Lord. Who was it that was attacking Peter during that time? Who was it that was attacking Peter? Satan, the serpent. And as the serpent attacks Peter, he should have done one thing. What should he have done? Okay, he should have prayed. And praying is the same thing as believing in him and looking to him. Did everybody follow that? What is it you do when you pray? Why do you pray? We pray because we believe that Jesus Christ has the power to help us in our times of trouble. And just as, listen carefully, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, Jesus says, must the Son of Man be lifted up. That serpent in the wilderness provided a great blessing for the children of Israel, that as they were attacked by the serpents, if they looked to that brazen serpent, they lived likewise in our lives. As Satan attacks us in our lives day by day, and every day he's going to come and try to attack you and destroy you and cause you to perish. And we're going to be looking at perishing in just a minute. But every time the devil attacks you in your mind and in your heart, every time the devil tempts you, every time the devil strikes you, there is only one remedy for that strike of Satan. Every time the devil tries to destroy your life, the only hope you have is to lift up your eyes to whom? Lift up your eyes to Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you know what the whole purpose, one of the purposes of preaching is? One of the purposes of preaching is to lift up Jesus Christ. Sometimes people say, you know, I'd just like to hear you preach about Jesus. Let me tell you something, brethren. It doesn't matter where you preach from God's Word, you're preaching about Jesus. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Sometimes people say, you know, you preach too much about the kingdom of heaven. I want to hear about Jesus. Listen, brethren, if you had eyes to see, you would know that everything about the kingdom of heaven has to do with the King of the kingdom. It has to do with Jesus. It's His kingdom. He's the one on the throne. He's the one that gives the rules. He's the one that lets you into His kingdom. It is His kingdom. You can't preach the kingdom without preaching about Jesus. The whole thing's about Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, when I came among you, I came determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and to preach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'll ask you this question. Every time Paul stood up to preach, did he preach about Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Yes, he did. Every time he stood up to preach, did he just preach about the life of Jesus during the time he was here on this earth and Him being crucified on the cross? No, he did not. Everything Paul preached, however, was about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You cannot preach the Word of God. You can't preach from the book of Genesis. You can't preach from the book of Isaiah. You can't preach from the book of Revelation or anywhere in between. You can't preach anything from the Word of God except you're being preaching Jesus Christ. Jesus is being preached. In fact, I believe it's in the book of Micah. Listen carefully. I believe it's in the book of Micah that the Word of God says that the man of wisdom preaches. No, let me read that. Don't turn. Well, you can turn if you're quick. Listen to Micah. Just listen for the sake of time. Micah chapter 6. I'm talking about lifting up Jesus. Micah chapter 6. Yeah, here it is. Micah 6 verse 9. Listen. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city. You know what I'm doing? I'm trying to cry unto the city. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city. And the man of wisdom, listen now, when the Lord's voice is crying to the city, when the gospel is being preached, when the Lord's voice is crying to the city, the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Well, what is the name of God? What is the name of God? It's Jesus. Jesus. The name of the Father is Jesus. The Word of God says that in Jesus does all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. Jesus. The Word of God says that when you baptize in the name of who? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You know what the name of the Father, not the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, who is? What is the name that's above every name? The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's Jesus. When we pray, we're to pray in the name of Jesus. Everything we do, we're to do it in the name of Jesus. So I want you to understand that any time preaching is going on, Jesus is being preached. And the man of wisdom will see Jesus every time. Do you hear that? That's what Micah 6:9 says. When the voice of the Lord is speaking to His people, they're going to see Jesus every time. You don't see Jesus when the gospel is being preached. Even if the name Jesus, you know, one of the songs we sang this morning was, well, I don't remember the name of the song, but it was about Blessed Be the Name. That was it. Blessed Be the Name. Blessed Be the Name. Blessed Be the Name. Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. I don't think... Was J-E-S ever mentioned there? I mean, was the word J-E-S in that song? In verse 3 it was? Sometimes we sing, and that's good, but my point is still, if J-E-S had not been in that song... I saw one dear sister in Christ when we were singing, that she was singing and just had her eyes closed, and you could just tell she was in the Spirit, and she was singing, Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what that name is? It's Jesus. You know what's being lifted up? Every time you come to the house of God, if the Word of God is being preached, you know what's being lifted up? It's Jesus that's being lifted up. You might say, well, you preached about the Father today. I'm still preaching about Jesus. You might say, well, you preached about the Holy Ghost today. I remember one time I preached for about 3 months just about the Holy Ghost, and I had some people say, I wish you'd get back to preaching about Jesus. I'm telling you, I am preaching about Jesus. It is Jesus. That's what the Word of God's about, is Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God gave Him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's go back to John 3:14 just a moment. John 3:14, the Word of God says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You understand what we're talking about, the Son of Man being lifted up? That's not Him being lifted up on that cross at Calvary. That's talking about Him being lifted up in the minds and before the eyes of the people of God for them to see Jesus. Why did the people need to look to that brazen serpent to keep from what? To keep from what? To keep from perishing. Now I'm going to ask you this question. Did you know that children of God are perishing every day here on this earth? And I'm not talking about a physical death. The word perish sometimes does mean a physical death. But the Word of God talks repeatedly. 92 times in the Bible, the same Greek word is used about perishing. And there's only 36 times that the actual word perish is used, but the Greek word is translated into a lot of other words. For example, listen carefully. I want you to understand we're going to be talking just a few minutes about perishing. I don't want you to perish. Brother Richard, am I concerned about you dying and going to hell? No, sir. Not at all. I'm not concerned about him dying and going to hell. I'm not concerned about you dying and going to hell. Jesus has already saved you from your sins, and He's already delivered you from eternal hell. But I want you to know that there is a perishing God's children experience while they live here in this world or can experience. I'm not taking the time to turn to all these, but I'm just going to quickly give you some things about perishing. That you know, these are the times that though that same word, same Greek word that's perish right here, is translated lost. You remember in Luke chapter 15, there were 100 what? There were 100 sheep, and how many were lost? One was lost. Did you know that word lost is the exact same Greek word as the word perish here in John 3:16, 15 and 16? Same word. That one sheep perished. He was lost. Did that mean that one sheep died? No. What does it mean that sheep was lost? It means the sheep was separated from the presence of the shepherd. It means the sheep was separated from the sheepfold. It means the sheep was out there in the wilderness. And there are a lot of God's children, though there are many sheep, there are a lot of the sheep that are out there in the wilderness. There was a woman that had 10 coins. There are about 8 times in Luke 15 the word lost is used. Lose. If any man shall lose a sheep, what's he going to do? He's going to go after him. That meant lose, and lost means perish. Let's just come on down for the sake of time to the prodigal son. What did the father say? When the prodigal son came back home, what did the father say about his child? This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. He was lost and is found. That word lost comes from the exact same word as John 3:16, perished. His son had perished. His son was lost. Had he died? Was he dead to the fellowship of the Father? Was he dead to the joys of his Father's house? Was he dead to the blessings of the Father's house? This my son was lost. He had perished, but he's found. Have you ever been perishing? Have you ever been perishing? Have you ever been away from God? Have you ever lost fellowship with God? Have you ever been away from Jesus? We were talking about this in our Bible study this morning earlier, and we were talking about being carnally minded. To be carnally minded is death,
separated from God.
And we're talking about how often are you carnally minded? How often are you separated from God? And one of the dear sisters in Christ said, from minute to minute, sometimes I'm in fellowship with God, sometimes I'm out of fellowship with God. Sometimes I'm carnally minded, sometimes I'm spiritually minded. What happens if you continue on that same route of being carnally minded? What will you do? You'll perish. You'll get lost. You'll be destroyed. What can you do when you're out there in the wilderness, when you're out there in the hog pen, and you come to yourself and you realize, I'm away from Christ. I'm away from God. I'm away from what I ought to be in. I'm not walking in the light. What can you do? Don't just tell me get back to the Father's house. Don't tell me go back to doing right. You've got to do something before you can do anything else. You've got to look up. Thank you, sister. That's it exactly. You've got to look up to Christ. Everybody hear that? That's what the sister in green said. You've got to look up to Christ. Somebody said repent. Somebody said get back to the Father's house. A lot of different answers. You can't do any of that without first lifting up your eyes to Jesus. Remember that. You need to look to Jesus every day. Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us run the race that is set before us. Do we have a race set before us just like the children of Israel had a journey that they had to travel? Let us. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, ever looking to what? Jesus. What will happen if you don't look to Jesus and you just take off running away? You're just going to run the race. What will happen? You'll stumble. You'll fall. When you fall down, what did you better do? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him, and the only time that you're ever really believing in Him is when you're looking to Him. If you're not looking to Him, you're not believing in Him. You face troubles, you face problems. We're fixing to face more troubles and problems than we've ever faced in our lives. You better learn to look to Jesus. You better get close to Jesus. You better stay real close to Jesus. You better lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Look to Jesus. Because as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not, what? Shall not perish, but have. You see the difference? The choice. The choice is yours, brethren. You will either perish or you will have everlasting life, depending on the choices you make. Does everybody understand that? If you don't, come back tonight, because we're going to pick right back up there. We want to study more about perishing And then we want to learn what is having everlasting life. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.